Now it's recording. Holy fucking hell.
Alrighty.
Okay. We just talked a bunch without it recording, so that's great. Let's remember everything we said exactly the way we said it the first time.
Gonna try really, really hard.
And go.
This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
I wanted to come on. And, of course, talk about the Kickstarter that we have active right now, which is ending in 4 days. That's Monday evening, this coming Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central. We're currently sitting at just under $150,000, $149,292.
Which means that you have funded. People do not have to worry about it not funding. They can jump in now. You got the last 48 bubble showing up so that people can look at their payday, which is, you know, tomorrow. And jump in over the weekend so that they are getting one hell of a early in backer value.
Our prices in the Kickstarter across the border at least 10% below what regular retail will be. So you're going to get a significant discount, especially if you're buying multiple things. The other thing to keep in mind, and this is something that I've talked about extensively on our Facebook page and in the Kickstarter campaign, is that we are not charging any postage up front. We're not going to do that until allocation on our website, chickenfriedtoys.com, versus using a backer kit. I mean, we feel like that money is better used for product than going in somebody else's pocket. You'll be able to go on the site, combine your selections from the Kickstarter with anything else that you want to add on if your budget has opened up by the time that happens, and get shipping in the entire package all at once. So there's no worrying about combining things. There's no worrying about overpaying on shipping or anything like that. We took that lesson very close to heart from the last KS. I want to point out the latest update shows images of the Paint Master, detailed images of the Paint Master for the Ron Rudette Master Sergeant figure. We've already sent that to the factory so they can begin pre-production artwork or pre-production work on it, because we firmly believe that we're going to get to that in the unlocks, and we hope that you do too.
Yeah, the unlock is only about 40. I know I'm estimating, but about 40K away, and it's Ron Rudat. It is one of the fathers of our favorite G.I. Joe line, and as someone who in his younger days did a lot of reenactment of the mid to late 19th century, this is a perfect line for him. And he is not the only face that you've put in your line, but this is very exciting.
I think so too. Ron, in the discussions about what his figure could be, would be, whatever, after he showed interest in it, yeah, he said he wanted to be cavalry, he wanted to be, you know, blues, the stripes on the pants, and, you know, ranking and stuff like that. So he had an influence on all of those things, and what ended up being the figure as it is. And it was really a cool experience.
I can only imagine. You know, I consider Ron a friend, and he's great to talk to. His art we have filling our houses, all of us that collect toys. And, you know, how many people do you work with in this regard than have his level of knowledge of the realm that you create toys in?
There's not many. I mean, certainly there are still a lot more today active than there were for a long, long time. But it's really a bit of a fanboy opportunity to go back and forth on this figure and get something brought to market that, you know, represents Ron as an individual, represents his hobbies and interests outside of the work that he did on the brand that we love, and then also homages the work on the brand that he loves in terms of scale and articulation, things like that. I'm very excited for it and what it represents, and that's why it's been that benchmark in the lineup to this point, where we felt like we would reach it, and we hope that the public does too. And it's not anywhere outside of the realm of possibility. It's absolutely a real possibility here.
And so he's not the only person you've worked with to do this. And already when people see you at a show or over your website, You know, Joel and I have always been big advocates of Vionetta Show. Yes, because we're cheap and they're shipping, but moreover, it gets a chance to communicate with our creators. You know, like, I have the privilege of, you know, most of the time calling you a friend. Sometimes just being insulted by you because I look tired. But, you know, I have the privilege of calling some of these other toy companies friends. And so it gets a chance to hang out. But for the toy companies that I don't know, it's a chance for me to meet them. It's a chance to talk.
Interact with them on a personal level. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as we all know from the internet, if I don't like your shit, I'm going to tell you immediately. But if I do, I'm just going to sit quietly. So buying in person gives me a chance to have that positive reinforcement with you guys that just we as consumers never take the time to do when we're happy. When we're happy, we slap it on Instagram and we go play. We only really reach out when we want to eat your lunch.
Yeah, when you have a complaint or a concern or something of that nature.
Not to tell people not to buy from your website. It's an easy purchase. It's an easy thing to get through. Shipping is quick. I just personally am I like to spend time hanging out at the booth. On Kickstarter, whether you look up Dime Novel Legends or whether you look up Chicken Fried Toys, this particular Kickstarter is Kickin' the Chicken, a toy horse story. It ends Monday, you said 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yeah, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, yeah.
Again, that's 5:30 p.m. on the West Coast, 2:30 in the afternoon if you're in Hawaii.
That might be a little harder, but yeah.
The shipping is a little extra, and you can figure out where you are in the rest of the world, but this particular Kickstarter is a toy horse story. So we are focusing on the horses that you've talked about for years. You've described as being smaller and more palomino and more this and that than some of the more heroic horses that are already on the market. But that's because they are meant to fit a time period and your figure specifically. So they're going to look great. And I noticed you have you have a lot of things already unlocked, a few more to go. Some of these are figure pack pieces, hands and helmets and stuff. Some go along with the horses. There's even the ability to get a mule part.
We've got 6 horses in the campaign to start off with. And those 6 are, you know, basic colorways with Western saddles and gear. We have a couple of cavalry saddle options if you want the more stripped down government issue version of the saddle. That would have been used with your cavalry figures from the last Kickstarter, of course. We have the mule parts, which are going to come in the cinnamon colorway first. If we get moving through Kickstarter unlocks pretty quick, I'll just go ahead and add some other colorways to it to match the other single colored horses. I think allowing that option and opening that up will certainly fill out what you need to do in terms of toy display and photography and so forth like that. We have we've got something that I put an update out on a couple of days ago. It's called the String of Ponies, and it's an option to get 4 horses at a discount with no gear so that you can take the extra saddles. If you're swapping around to a cavalry saddle, you take your extra Western saddle and put it on a horse and not have anything laying around, just an extra parts box, most people hate that kind of thing. So it's not what it's originally designed to do, but that's how it worked out. So it's a happy circumstance.
Yeah. And you can also put those in the background as you have your... Mm-hmm. Is you have your natives or you have your generalized trapper in the woods and you have a nice pack of horses in the background.
The trappers and mountain men are next year, Jason.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, that just means they're coming. You already have 20 or 30 figures out in your line.
It's getting close to 40 actually. At this 40. Point.
Okay. And so when I don't do the quick math when I'm standing at your table, but I see them all lined out. Plus, you always bring a couple things special. At AR, you brought a dragoon?
More or less. It's from a new faction that goes in with our Calbra or Calbra related stuff. Because, man, that's a stupid name. it's the Bronze Fusiliers. And they're obviously inspired by some of the brands and toys that we loved as kids. And this is our Praetorian, which would be a guard or a commander, field commander in the squad, you know, that kind of thing. But what was unique to him was the two-piece kilt that we had sculpted for this particular project. It'll move to production a year and a half down the road. But for the particular event, we built a slightly customized figure that's fully playable for the show and actually sold out of them.
That's excellent. Well, it was gorgeous.
I'm pretty happy with it. Pretty happy with it.
Which speaks not only to where you've already been and where you're headed, but like what's coming out, like what people can expect. So I saw it in hand. I got to hold it. I got to touch it. I got to manipulate. And it's, which is something I always talk about with you.
I'm still cleaning your greasy fingerprints off of it.
As you should. I got a little overexcited. But it's exciting. And so, yeah, Cobra is a bit silly.
Cobra. Like, you know, you say it in the worst possible, you know, surfer dude voice. Bruh.
Cobra is a bit punny, but so is a toy horse story. So is Kickin' the Chicken.
I like alliteration. What can I say?
While this is a horse-based thing, we are seeing the Cobras and some of our other homages come through. And I gotta say, there's some very beautiful pieces in this.
Thank you.
You know, everybody's favorite Scarred Man in Black is not yet funded, but close.
That's actually available on the website right now.
Okay.
Yeah. We had the opportunity. There was a small hole in manufacturing at the factory, and we had the opportunity to move him up and go ahead and get him made, because that was a low bar. I mean, the base figure is entirely black. Being able to slot that in, we were able to get it here quite a bit earlier than we expected. So
being all black means cheap 40 years ago and cheap today, or cheaper. Got it.
Let's just say it's a lower bar for the manufacturing threshold. But yeah, the other things that you were mentioning, you know, the Scarlet Dragoons and the Cobra Boss and Cobra Bandit, and of course, Baile Long, Keone Young, one of our celebrity friends.
Which this will be his second body, right? Because
yes, it will. It will. Yeah. It is a martial arts master that kind of is a little mysterious. He's a bit of an enigma. Nobody knows what he's about, but he is involved with the Cobra Collective, our group of bad guys. I don't have a name for the good guy team yet, because it's not really a team. It's just individuals, but we'll figure out something. We're working on a logo that's going to look pretty slick right now. So
Walks Two Worlds is fantastic.
Yeah, Walks Two Worlds. That was a happy circumstance. We had put together Rough Country.
Rough Country looks great.
Oh, the colors really work on him. I don't know how that happened, because it shouldn't. It shouldn't. If you look at it, you're like, oh my God, those are awful. But
I mean, if you explain the colors to me, I would give you side eye. But seeing it, it's all hard eyes.
The Rough Country figure was going to be the free figure for getting full funding on the first day, which we did. We got full funding at $75,000 in less than 12 hours. That was amazing. Very happy for that, and very glad to be on the receiving end of that mess.
Hey, that's fantastic.
Our primary sculptor, Kaylin McKean, Gigabread Digital Bakery, threw together what ended up being the Walks Two World design. We went back and forth on it a little bit, tweaked it a touch, and got the colors nailed down, and decided, well, you know what? That's even more of a must-have than the Rough Country figure, so that would make a better incentive for people to go ahead and help get us funded on the first day, and it worked really well.
So what you're saying is, you said, hey, we'll do Rough Country if you can get us to the finish line. They got you to the finish line and said, instead of giving you Rough Country, I'm going to give you something better.
That's how it worked out.
You incentivized after you already, people don't do that, man.
I'm very happy with the look and design of those two figures, how they turned out. Oh,
they're gorgeous.
The color palettes work really well on them. And, I think they're going to make a nice addition to people's collections. The idea with the Cobra Collective is that, you know, we have a central group of bad guys, and certainly I've got, you know, the first eight of those designed and have been seen publicly. But beyond that, we have a loose group of good guys that are, you know, in contest with them, or versus, you know, and it's not so much of a team per se, but more of a, just a group of associated individuals, you know, crossing each other's paths in conflict with this bigger, more overarching organization that is somewhat nefarious in nature.
Well, if they're on your website or if they see you at a show, that Michael Bell, First Sergeant, fits in perfectly with this.
Yeah, the cavalry officer and the Michael Bell, First Sergeant, and the Black Snake Gunfighter figure, which are on our site now, are kind of the forerunner for what you're seeing being more filled out in this Kickstarter. And the important thing, I should make the distinction, we have regular stretch goal unlocks in the Kickstarter, and it's almost all horse related up to the Ron Rudat figure. And all of these Calibre Collective or Calibre Collection figures, whichever way you want to refer to it, are add-ons. And that's because they're helping subsidize the horses while still paying for themselves. I mean, as I mentioned a couple of times previously, you can't pay for two things out of a budget for one figure. So we've got to make them pay for themselves. But we're doing it at a lower cost than usual because they're polybagged with a header card. So they don't cost as much to ship and they don't cost as much to store because they just take up less space just overall. And we pass that savings on down to the customer. We move backward in our pricing. Rarely does that happen for anyone, but we're very happy that we were able to do that. I should also point out before I forget to say it, that within the Kickstarter itself, all of the rewards are at least a 10% discount over what final retail is going to be for those folks that chose not to participate in the campaign or are late to the game, so to speak. So be sure, if you have a little money and you have an interest in this stuff, that you go ahead and get involved and get the best possible pricing. I believe I mentioned it earlier, but I want to remind everyone that we're not charging shipping on these right now. So that's a charge you don't have to worry about until we do allocation on our website, chickenfriedtoys.com, where you'll be able to combine your rewards from the Kickstarter with any additional items that you like into one bundle and pay one amount of shipping with nothing extra and get the best possible deal out of it. But we're, you know, it's easy to forget sometimes that everybody's on a budget of some kind, and that where we can cut, we need to cut so that it's the best possible deal for everyone concerned. And by keeping that in mind, keeping all these little things that don't really add up to one a lot by themselves, cumulatively will end up saving you some serious dollars. I mean, the dollar value for the all-in pledge right now is currently sitting at, I think it's $412. So for your $550 pledge, you're currently getting $412 worth of merchandise. The next horse that unlocks in less than $1,000 is going to add another $50 to that pile. So then suddenly you're at $462. Once we get to Chips, which is the paint horse and the last horse in our regular horse offerings, you've broken even. That's $550 worth of merchandise. We're pushing to get to Ron Rudat at $195,000, as you talked about at the beginning. If we get to Ron Rudat and he's unlocked, you're getting an extra about $170 worth of merchandise for your $550 pledge. That's a pretty good deal. I don't care who you are. That's a pretty good deal.
That's a great deal. That's why it always behooves me to go all in when I can during a Kickstarter, because buying one or two at retail from you, whether through your website or in person, completely doable, easy, no problem. Buying your whole line at retail, that adds up. So if I can do it now,
get a little discount. Yeah. Yeah.
Helps you fund the tooling and helps me fund the collection. It's always a benefit that goes both ways.
Yeah.
I know we just wanted to do kind of a quick touch base as we're walking into the final days of this. And even without this conversation, the final days always have a bit of a balloon. Your fan base is, they're knowledgeable when it comes to toys. They're long tooth collectors. They're loyal when you treat them right and when the toys are good. Personally, I don't have a lot of concern that you won't hit Rudat, but until you hit them, you ain't hit them. And so what other sit-downs have you done that people can go and listen to aside from this one while they're sitting in Kickstarter and making their add-on choices?
Well, the only things that I've done this time around, time and everything else, is the Facebook live chats.
Okay.
That I've done on our Facebook page. There's three or four of those that you can go back and look at and listen to if you want. Most of them are pretty short. I try to keep it at 30 minutes or less on that because, as you know, without the time to sit down and listen, people will not finish those things up and then they miss out on some information that's important. You know, we usually have a tendency to run for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours when we're talking at these normally. But like I said, we'll try to keep this relatively short and sweet this time so that the information is out there in their hands as quick as possible. I'm very proud of where we're at in the Kickstarter so far. It's not by any means not a success. I have certain goals in mind, and I think we can reach them. I think they're certainly within reach very easily. you know, if we can get some new eyes on the project. I mean, certainly the guys that have pledged already have done a great job of picking everybody up and getting us, you know, really far off into the unlocks for the rewards and the add-ons. And that's great. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I think with a little more work, a little more profile generated by users, fans, and friends, that we can get in those backers that we don't have currently. That's a number I keep going back to, is the backers. In our first Kickstarter, we had 565. In our second Kickstarter, at 300 and something, you know, low 300s. And here we are sitting at 370, I think, 7 or 9 right now. Yeah, 379. Well, hey, we'll be there before you know it. So, and that's just gonna take letting people know, hey, this thing's coming to an end if you're going to back.
Anybody new that's interested, this is a line that I didn't realize how detailed colorways could be until the first time in hand I saw your vests.
Those are a feather in our cap. They're a feather in our cap, but they're a bane in the existence of the paint master.
Oh, factory. I bet. Well, as I know a few paint masters these days, I have no doubt. But it's one of those things of, this line has been going for a few years. You've delivered. You show up at 5 or 6 shows a year. You are a longer in the community than I am. Everybody knows Alyosha.
For better or worse.
Well, you know, that's all of us, right? Like, I am not everybody's cup of tea. Why should you be? I mean, at least that's what you keep telling me. I don't know.
you know what? I'll be your draft of bitter stout.
But I am excited by this, and I don't have a lot of fear that this isn't going to come through. But I do. I want to be supportive as much as I can. And you and I talked about doing this earlier, but as you mentioned, usually when we sit down, it's 3+ hours.
Yeah, it's hard to schedule for that.
Right. We just couldn't find the time. And even today, you know, it's going to be 30 minutes and done, because we're bouncing between meetings. I was on one, then you, and now I'm about to be on another, but the horses. And I mean, I'm excited by the mule, because who doesn't want a longer
bad tempered mule in your collection? The idea with creating the mule parts is, when we designed the horse 4 years ago now, a lot of people didn't like that it has a canted foreleg. And the reason for that was, so if the horse is posed rearing up, it doesn't look silly with two legs just sticking straight out. And the mule parts are a way to allow people to swap that out if they don't want it. And also a way to reuse the body where it makes sense to create another tool, another SKU, another character, so to speak, within the realms of realism in the old West. Now, our stuff, for the most part, is 80 to 85% based in reality.
Sure.
Obviously, the Calibras are not. They're not intended to be. The alien from the Weird Western Tales is absolutely not. But you know what? That's okay. But
neither are your jackalopes or your wendigos.
No.
But,
no,
but you know, but seriously, being 85% is a lot more than most toy lines. You know, everybody says they want realism till they have that 90+% and then they're like, oh shit, too much. So I think yours is like in that perfect range.
I used to say it, and I still believe it, early on when we were working on designs and stuff. 100% realism is 100% boring. it doesn't mean it doesn't make a nice figure or it doesn't look accurate or anything like that. It's just, when you start talking about complete realism, well, things get kind of mundane looking by default. So a little bit of fantastic nature for a line that's an action figure, not statues, is perfectly all right, I think. And at the end of the day, these are action figures. They're toys. Now, they're collector-oriented toys, certainly. But because of that, they have to look like toys. If these were two-point of articulation statue-like figures, then they have awesome paint jobs. Well, then nobody would really want them to be in their collection. Because how can you set that on a horse? Well, you really can't.
These are toys. And even though most of us can't really get on the floor to play anymore, we can still play at our desks.
Oh, absolutely. As I said at the show this last weekend at Assembly Required, the setting up of the figures is always a whooping. It takes a lot of time. I'm particular about it. But it is one of the few times that I get to sit down and play with my own products and actually have a good time just fiddling with them. So I'm not going to stop doing that per se. I'm going to try to find a little more efficient way to do it, but not going to stop because that's why I'm doing what I do. That's why I collect what I collect. That's why I love what I love. And if you take that away from me, well, you know, okay, then there goes some of the excitement that fuels the creativity and fun.
If you take that away, then we just have to grow up and nobody wants that bullshit.
Hell no.
I don't know that it needs reminding, but because we're here, we might as well. What is the website?
Website for our in-stock items and pre-orders is chickenfriedtoys.com.
The Kickstarter is Kicking the Chicken.
Kicking the Chicken, a toy horse story.
It ends at Monday, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you're in Arizona or parts of Indiana, you figure out your time zone.
Yeah, it's on you.
Dude, I'm excited. I'm excited that you have another Kickstarter near the end. I'm excited that you funded in 12 hours. And what is your next show that I'm going to hang out with you at?
It's probably going to be Solocon in March. I also have a show in Houston, which I wouldn't expect to see at that in March as well. There'll be a couple more in mid-spring that aren't nailed down yet. And then, of course, June, week two, I have Benton, Arkansas for the Saline County Collectors Convention. Week three will be Augusta for Joe Fest, which is our best show of the year, our biggest show of the year. And then the following week after that will be the DFW G.I. Joe show here in Dallas. So it's going to be a busy month, but I'm sure next year we'll do at least one of the NJCC shows and several others. You mentioned something earlier about the number of shows we've traveled to. I've done 21 in the last 2 years. Most of them flying and hauling merchandise. I intend to keep doing that because it's a good way to put our product in front of people who wouldn't necessarily get to see it. Thanks, Jason, for making time to do this and for helping out where you can. I really appreciate it.
I wish we could have gotten on earlier, but you said, hey, do you have time? I said yes, and then we both neither did. So
let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.